Good morning. It's a Friday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. You know, Alan, every single day it seems like there's a new blaring headline coming out of Washington, and here's one this morning. Upheaval in D.C. Mattis quits after rift with Trump. Shutdown looming. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis resigned in protest of President Trump's decision to withdraw U.S. forces from Syria and his rejection of international alliances. The ripple effect, as you so often say, is global.
David, it's very scary. The whole thing is really in trouble. We have a president who obviously is practicing the playbook of distraction and who is making sure that every time something bad happens to him, he can raise the stakes by doing something that is really not in the interests of the country. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't end some of our previous foreign adventurism in Syria or in Afghanistan. But it should not be done by one guy sitting in the White House scratching his armpits. That doesn't make an awful lot of sense. We have a bureaucracy in place, and he is totally ignoring that. And the one guy who was presenting some stability in the administration was obviously Mattis. Mattis comes to the White House. He tries to talk Trump out of the adventurism that he's now engaged in getting out of Syria. The president refuses. He takes an envelope out of his pocket with a resignation in it, and he's out of there. The last of the so-called generals that this flat-footed fellow had surrounded himself with, not having served in the armed forces himself and being utterly unprepared for this. What's so scary about this, David, without question, is the idea that this guy is in such a panic now, perhaps over these various investigations that are hitting him so hard, that he has to keep looking for distractions. And the ultimate distraction, as you know, is the finger on the button and who will say no. So this guy is in real trouble, real emotional trouble, that's clear. Real problems with his own legacy is all going downhill. In the meantime, David, his attorney general, his acting attorney general, Whitaker, says, I'm not going to step aside. Right. We suspect now that much of what has been going on with Mueller has been signaled to the president by Whitaker, who could not get named attorney general if he stood on his head. And the new guy, William Barr, apparently has had a memo, David, which indicates that the whole Mueller investigation is misplaced. So we see that he's recruiting people into his corner who will help him avoid what is clearly now the eventual outcome, which is impeachment or indictment. I think those things are on the cusp. So we don't know, of course, but I think that that's what's going to be called for. And I think that's what we're going to see. This country is in grave, grave danger because of this guy. And everybody, and I mean everybody, should be fearful of what's going to happen next. When you see Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio and so many others turning on the president, that means they're feeling the fear too.
Alongside of that, you've got a shutdown looming, and we're hearing from inside the White House again that he welcomes it if he doesn't get the border wall.
The ultimate distraction, you shut down the government, do you care? You're sitting there either in Mar-a-Lago or in the White House. You got your family around you. The thousands of people who will suffer as a result of a shutdown is of no consequences to this guy whatsoever. And you got the Republican Congress scared enough about it. Point two, you have them on some of the stuff that's going on in Syria, and now you have them on the government shutdown. The Republican Senate and the House of Representatives do what they should do, which is to say, let's put this off until February. The president is buying none of it. This is, quote, the art of the deal. This is what you do when you're a mogul and you think you've got somebody by the most sensitive place in their body, and you put it to them and you insist that they go your way or no way. That's what this guy is doing now. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Speaking of boy, oh boy, or as Rex Smith often says, golly, Martha, Gatwick Airport. You see this drone that's just grounded at the airport. It's reopened now, but this technology today allows basically a hobbyist to shut down an airport.
That's right. And of course, there are plenty of, well, insane hobbyists, too. Look, you know, I'm no Einstein, that's for sure. But I have to tell you, from the first time I saw these machines being run over our house and in other places, I said, this is a potential for disaster. I would not let anybody use them. I think that's just ridiculous. There are privacy issues, but more than that, there's the potential of what we are seeing in Great Britain. This is really lousy, and I think anybody who's listening to me right now would understand. If a seagull can bring down a plane or a goose, you better believe that the same thing is true with one of these machines, especially in the hands of somebody who either doesn't understand what they're doing or who does.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, listeners, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. I'm getting a few days off, thanks to those filling in, most namely Ian Pickus. And we'll be back after the Christmas holiday on Wednesday next week. Stay safe and keep listening.
Okay, David, and Merry Christmas to all of the people who are celebrating Christmas and to all those people who really do need a holiday.